This is the Bloomberg Advantage with Carol Masser and Corey Johnson on Bloomberg Radio.
All right, the Bloomberg Advantage is brought to you by National Realty, providers of 100% satisfaction guaranteed New York City Realty Investments. See them at NRIA.net.
Well, he says his firm's domestic-oriented strategy should help investment performance. George Young is back with us, portfolio manager at Villeri Funds, $3 billion in assets under management, based in New Orleans, in our Bloomberg 1130 studio. Welcome back to Bloomberg Radio.
Great. Good to be here.
How are you doing in this environment?
We're doing pretty well. Now, Remember, you mentioned that we're domestically oriented, which is a true statement. So although we didn't enjoy the volatility last week, it doesn't really affect the earnings of our companies because we're small-cap, mid-cap-oriented domestic. So the variety of our companies that we own don't have that many revenues coming in from overseas. So I don't think it's a good thing that Britain exited, but by the same token, financially, I think our portfolios look pretty good.
Is that an I don't really care kind of thing?
Well, I don't want you to paint me as a non-caring person.
I'm not, but do you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
It doesn't really matter to us.
Well, at the end of the day, what we do is very objective. If a company has good earnings, it'll sport a good multiple, and if it grows and people continue to use their products and services, the stock will do well. So from a strictly objective standpoint, yeah, it doesn't matter that much to us. It gives us some opportunities also because some companies that we own sold off. We bought those on Monday. That was great.
You're great now. One of the stocks,
yes.
can we talk stocks?
Yes, we do.
So 3D Systems.
Yes.
The maker of 3D printers. Stock's been beat up. Big time. Management's had some difficulty with a lot of things, including meeting their own estimates and keeping the products that they tout on the shelves. What is it you like about this company? It's not cheap at all. It's trading at 42 times earnings and nearly twice its growth rate.
Right. Well, you mentioned management, and I think what's very important is they've got a new CEO in place who I think is going to be fantastic. They've also gotten rid of their retail business, which was a non-starter. So they're concentrating on
the Cube.
What's that?
The Cube, they
yes.
called that product. It was supposed to be the desktop 3D printer that just didn't print well.
Correct. It didn't print well. It didn't have the support that was needed. And again, it was a low-margin business. So what they're doing is concentrating back on the things that they know well. And that includes making parts for BMW motorcycles. That includes hearing aids. That includes different devices that need to be specifically engineered for very specific needs. Invisalign braces, for instance, that's very important. Everybody's braces are different for each person.
3D, how long have you owned it?
We've been in and out of the stock for probably 10 years now. So we sold about two-thirds of what we owned 2 years ago, and we recently decided to buy back into the company at these low multiples.
Yeah, because it really did have an incredible run from 2009 into 2013, then kind of got killed 2014, 2015. So you were out of it by then.
Oh, not as much as we would like to. I'd love to say we're out of it completely, but that would not be true. Unfortunately, it's very difficult when you see a stock falling. It's like catching a falling knife. I'm sure your listeners have heard that analogy before. And that makes it fairly difficult to say, okay, now let's get out of the stock, or let's wait for it to get a little higher, and then we'll get out of it. So we didn't get out as much as I would have liked to have, but we got out of the bulk of what we owned.
Talk to us about another name that's in your portfolio. I'm just taking a look. Luminex is, I think, among your top 10. Taser International, BE Aerospace,
right.
Howard Hughes.
Yep. Those are all in there. Well, let's talk about Taser for a second, because, again, in this world where we understand that there's rife with violence, we've seen that, unfortunately, with Istanbul Airport, I think it's very important to understand that security forces around the world need to have a weapon that's going to work properly. But you've also got the flip side where you've got accusations of problem with police brutality.
So the cameras on the Taser.
Exactly. That's it. So people know Taser as the weapon, but what's more important is the body-worn cameras. That's really where they're going to make their money. So they've already got relationships with a variety of different police departments around this country and around the globe. They can leverage those opportunities in the body-worn cameras. And it's not just the cameras, it's storing that data afterwards. That's what's most important, because most people, at least in most communities in this system in the United States, need to keep the data for 7 years.
George, again, is this how long have you guys been in this one? Because I think we've talked with you about this one before.
We haven't been in it that long, 6-9 months, something like that.
So it's a this-year play.
It's the end of last year play.
Yeah, because yes. It was beaten down pretty a lot last year.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
So among the railroads, you own Genesee and Wyoming.
Yes.
What is it about that railroad in particular that you like?
Well, they're short line haul. So as opposed to the large lines that are fairly competitive, this is a little different. So if you need to get coal from Chicago to Missouri, for instance, the shorter lines, meaning 100 miles or so, that's where there's not that much competition. Now, that being said, the economy, as we know, has been weak. In particular, coal has been weak.
Right.
So from a transportation standpoint, transportation stocks have had a tough time recently. But they are very efficient. So this is a play, like most all stocks are, on the economy increasing and getting better and getting stronger.
You've seen sales growth really accelerate this year. You know, 2014 saw only 4% sales growth. Last year, 22%. Last quarter, also 22%. What's going on there?
You're talking about with Genesee, Wyoming?
Genesee, Wyoming, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's they made a couple of acquisitions. That's one thing that's made a big difference.
Okay.
They're continually making acquisitions. I think they've made 30 acquisitions in the past 20 years. So there's always another little short line that can be added into the fold,
really?
And they can add that efficiently.
That's
now,
interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are there
now,
economies of scale there?
There are to a certain degree, meaning they understand how to run railroads properly. From an employee and oversight management standpoint, they can reduce overhead. Again, payroll, that's easy to make that more efficient.
Hey, let me just ask you, because we've been talking a lot, I think, about some of the holdings in the Villeray Equity Fund, which is beating pretty much all of your peers so far in 2016. If I look at the Balance Fund, you guys have had a tougher time.
Correct.
With that fund and not beating your peers over the last 5 years. What's been trickier about the strategy in that fund?
Well, for right or wrong, we're more interested in small and mid-cap stocks, and most balance funds are large-cap stocks. So you're comparing apples and oranges, unfortunately. But that being said,
still got to perform.
You got to perform.
People still got to invest in it.
Yep. You're exactly right. So as we know, small and mid-cap stocks didn't do as well in 2014 and 2015. So although we outperformed in 2012 and 2013, chickens came home to roost in 14 and 15, so it was a little tougher to do.
All right, we got to leave it there, I think. Yeah, we do, unfortunately. George, thank you so much.
Great, thanks.
Really appreciate it. George Young, portfolio manager at Villeray Funds. They've got about $3 billion in assets under management. Joining us here in our Bloomberg 1130 studio. He's based in New Orleans. All right, coming up, we're going to talk a little bit more about the deal flow of the day. Lionsgate Entertainment agreeing to buy John Malone's Starz in a cash-and-stock deal valued at $4.4 billion. So we'll break that down with our own Jeff McCracken, who follows all the deal flow for us, head of the M&A team right here at Bloomberg News. You are listening to the Bloomberg Advantage. Carol Masser, along with Corey Johnson. This is Bloomberg.